Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I speak to a new guest with a very interesting job. I am Laura Leoncini and today my guest is Alexander Grefstad, service engineer in Bergen, Norway. The reason why I'm interviewing Alexander is that when you study engineering, working on vessels at sea is not the first thing that comes to mind, but it is a very interesting job with its perks and exciting prospects. Alex works on multi-purpose vessels for oil and gas customers that need repair and maintenance on fields at sea. If computer work and a 9-to-5 jobs are not your thing, then listen to this episode. Alexander, thank you for being my guest at Job Tales. I have the honor to interview you. Barasha told me about you and your job through her job, and I find it very interesting. The application as a service engineer on vessels is very interesting and maybe something that the young listeners don't know too much about. Can you explain what you do on our daily work life?
Thank you for having me here on your podcast. Yeah, I normally work on our vessels as a supervisor for a team from our company. We kind of there is a task from the oil companies to sometimes it's about replacing a module which has failed subsea in their oil fields. So we kind of mobilize a vessel together with the crew of the vessel. And we are heading out for this this task. So we are, for now, I've been working mostly in the North Sea, but as we are a large international company, we get to travel all around the world, mostly divided into the Eastern Hemisphere, where we in Norway are kind of servicing. So,
It's a special vessels, right? What kind of vessels are they? Are they oil vessels, you said?
They are called multi-purpose vessels. They are, in the early days when I started the company, there was quite simple vessels with just a crane on the vessel that helped us kind of operating the equipment up and down from subsea. But today there is large dedicated vessels for these types of work, which the vessel has, together with us, it's quite often a crew from like 70 to 100 people on board with all different tasks through the work we are doing. We are kind of working together with a lot of different companies on this this vessel, and all the different companies are working together with the client who has the job. There is like, you have the company running the vessel, and then you have the ROVs, these kind of mini submarines that do your work subsea, and then we are from our company a team kind of to change or install the equipment subsea for the customer.
So what does the vessel transport mainly?
The vessel kind of when the project starts, normally the vessel then comes alongside the quay, and there is all the equipment needed for let's say we are heading out for changing a module subsea on an oil field that has failed, and we have to replace it, and then we have our engineering team on shore has planned all the equipment we need for this job, and we mobilize all this equipment on the quayside together with the customer and the vessel, and so the vessels, they carry the equipment needed for this specific tasks, depending on sometimes it's like a week of work, sometimes it's a larger project for several months. So it depends on what type of project and job you are heading into.
Okay, and this is just for me to understand. So it's not actually the vessel that transports oil from A to B that you're talking about.
No, because we are a servicing company that kind of do service and maintenance and also installation of new fields for the oil and gas companies. So,
okay.
So we are kind of servicing for them. So in my department, we do all the connections of the pipelines subsea from a new field on those types of operations, we are on a large vessel that lays down these pipelines from the vessel, and in the end it has to be connected up to the oil well or gas well, and that's where my company and my team comes in to do this actual connection. And on other types of operations, we do these module changes, which we mobilize the vessel for that type of operation. So we never have any type of oil or gas or anything coming into the vessel.
Okay.
And for me, I think that's good, because it's one of the risks in the industry is, of course, dealing with oil and gas and being on a vessel, which we don't really need to have any thoughts on that one. I think that's good.
So let's say a project starts and you're on the project. How does it? What's your usual time that you're off? You know, on sea, and like, do you spend days or weeks on a vessel, and what's your job actually like?
It depends on what project you are in. I'm on a rotation, which I work 4 weeks, or I'm available for the company to work for 4 weeks, and then yeah. I have 4 weeks back home. It's not always like that. Sometimes they call us when we are off, or sometimes it's quite hectic, like the market and the business today. It's quite busy for us. So we've been working quite a lot through last year, especially summer times. Then it's big activities in all the new equipment is supposed to be installed when the weather is good. So it actually... Last time now, I went on a vessel for a bit more than a week, 1.5 week. But this summer, I was on a vessel for 5 weeks. So it really okay. depends on kind of the project, and also, as we are experienced now, we do have a lot of work going on. So we need to be a bit more flexible for the company. And also, yeah. if you're heading abroad, you normally are away for 4 weeks because you have a long travel and they need to have you at work for a longer period, so you don't have all the expenses for traveling up and down too much.
So you're a service engineer, right? So what did you study when you were at university? What kind of engineering?
My originally plan was to be a car mechanic. I started up on that, but my friends at school told me that I should be an aircraft mechanic. Yeah. I hadn't heard much about it, but they kind of continued messing around and telling me that I should become an airplane mechanic. So in the end, I did that. I went to Stavanger for my education for being an airplane mechanic. I was an apprentice in a Norwegian airliner company. I worked there for like 5 years, I think. And then I was heading back home to Bergen and started up in the company I work for today.
That was by chance, or because from an airline to boats or vessels, there's a big jump, right?
Yeah, and I remember when I was working as an aircraft mechanic, I always said that I don't really want to work in the oil industry. That's nothing for me. I don't want to travel all the time. That's nothing for me. But that's what I've been doing for 24 years. So
24 years. Wow. Yeah. And you haven't changed jobs, so that means that somehow this job suits you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I really like being into the technical sides of things. I like to kind of work with solving problems, technical problems, and to kind of be on top of that. There is a lot of opportunities for that in my company. Also, as we are a really large company, there is a lot of... You don't really need to change company to have something else to do. I've been lucky to be working in the office for a while to try that out, see if I like it. So I've been working for a tender department, not for a long time, but at least I could see and experience that part of our business. And I've also been helping out with the engineering department. So it's there's a lot of opportunity within our company, which I think is really nice.
And so when you are on, you know, 4 weeks or 5 weeks on a vessel, I guess you have to have also some kind of personality or a set of skills that are required so that you can actually stay 5 weeks at sea. What would you say are your best skills for that?
Yeah, you are, of course, away from home for quite a long time. But I think the most important thing with my job is my colleagues. We are a really good team. Of course, we do change the teams every time we come to work, but that's kind of okay. You never get bored of working with the same guy every time. So that's nice. So I think when you are away from home that much, it's really important that you have a good social life with your colleagues and the guys you are working with. So
right, I think, that's a good point. Yeah.
So that's something I really like with being a close team together on the vessel. You get to know each other.
Okay, and then what else would you say that is important? You know, if I'm a young engineer and I wanna start a career at the company where you're working, what would be what would I have to have in order to fulfill this job?
Of course, technical interest, that's kind of the major thing. But I think it's also important to be a good team player and have kind of good communication skills, because we are, especially as we are working abroad, you need to work with all different cultures. And that's something, for me, it took quite a long time to kind of understand that part of the business, to kind of have a good communications with all different cultures around the world where you're working.
Do you have to be a technician or an engineer in order to work on a vessel? Or are there also other job specifications related to maybe logistics or communications? I don't know.
Yeah, there is. Within our company, we do have some, as you mentioned, logistic personnel. Not that much being offshore. Most of them are onshore on the office. So offshore, within our company, it's mostly technical personnel, but it's different types of, we have different types of departments working offshore. So in my department, we are working on the vessels with these operations of changing modules or connecting these flow lines. But on other departments, you are more like an electronic engineer, which do all the startup of the fields and communications with all the subsea equipment. So that's a different approach to it. And then we also have a lot of guys working on the oil rigs. But yeah, that's more similar to us with being technicians.
Can you describe your last job, just for our listeners to understand what your job entails? Like in very simple words.
Yeah. My last job was actually now after Christmas. I was on a vessel in North Sea. I normally am a supervisor for our team, which means that I need to, when I come on board on the vessel, first of all, I need to gather the team, have a chat with the team. We go through the tasks we are going to do. And you also then have to go together with a customer, have a chat with him, and agree the way forward when we start up on the project on the vessel. And then, we do mobilize all the equipment onto the vessel, sail away to the field, and start up on the task we are planned to do. Just for this specific job I was on, I was actually not a supervisor. I was a part of the technical team on a night shift. So I was the lead in the night shift, running the operations through nighttime. So normally I'm the supervisor that kind of leads our team into the work we're going to do. But sometimes you are part of the technicians that are doing the actual operation.
When you say that you went to the field, what do you mean? Where did you go?
This specific field, we were working for Shell onto the Ormen Lange field, it's called. So that's a subsea field which has all the wells from this field is controlled by subsea valve trees, which has had a specific module that has had to be replaced. And so that was the specific task for this job.
So that when you say subsea, it means underwater?
Yeah. On this specific field, we were at 800 meters below surface.
So are there like divers, or is everything is mechanical and automatized?
We use these ROVs, the mini submarines, which are unmanned. They have a crew on the vessel that kind of operates these ROVs.
Yeah.
They are like they sit in a almost like a fighter pilot chair with a joystick, and they have these arms, robotic arms on these ROVs. So when we are kind of heading into 800 meters depth and gonna do the replacement of this module, we are guiding the operators of the ROVs to do the task for us. So it's kind of our company is specialized in this subsea equipment, which on other types of oil and gas installations, you have all the controls of the well on top of the platform. But in our company, it's all the equipment we are dealing with is subsea.
I see. So from what you're saying, it seems that you have to know a lot about very specific elements like the equipment and the techniques. Is it something that you have learned when you started at the company? Or are you supposed to have a base set of skills in order to get the job?
Absolutely. I think we learn every time we are heading on to a new project. It's you of course need to have your basic skills, but we are dealing quite a lot with hydraulics and quite some electronics. My experience is mostly with the hydraulics, but I've learned quite a lot of the electronics also. So you really need to have a bit of all, but that's where we have our teams. So some guys are clever in the hydraulics, some other guys are clever with electronics, and then we kind of make it going forward.
It makes me think, like, if you could go back now in time, because when you started, you wanted to be something else, a car mechanic, and then you became more like an airplane mechanic and so forth. Would you have chosen a different line of studies, or do you think that your engineering studies, is it, I guess it was mechanical engineering, was it enough? Is it enough today for you, or would you have said, if it had been more electronic, or I don't know if there's any hydraulic engineering more specific, would it have helped more in your job?
Yeah, it would, of course. I think it would, of course, help if I had more of the electronic studies. It's absolutely possible to gain this education as you go also. But of course, actually my son, he wants to go after his father, and I kind of told him to start up with electronics, and then he can kind of see his path going forward.
Yeah, nice. And so what would you say is the most, you know, one or two biggest advantages about your job? In terms of everything, you know, like work-life balance or, you know, technical or interest?
Of course, we do have our 4 weeks off, which
yeah, it's a big plus.
Yeah, it's I think that's that's really nice to be looking forward to that when you've been working away from home for a long time. So
yeah.
I think that's one of the bigger benefits of this type of work. And the payment is good, so that's nice.
Okay.
And in Norway, this type of work is it's something. It used to be like quite a lot of youngers wanted to have this type of job, and so I'm kind of fortunate that I was able to have it.
Is there a lot of competition?
It used to be. It's been changing the latest years, you know, coming into renewables and all this, and kind of the reputation for oil and gas was a bit down. So it has changed, but I think it's coming back. And I think even though we are working with oil and gas, we are heading into looking into the future and see what's coming for renewables, if it's wind farms offshore or if it's injection of the CO2 into the wells. So there's quite a lot of interesting technology coming towards renewables.
And talking about technology, my last question is about how technology will affect your job, because you were already talking about unmanned and remote controlled little submarines that that you're using. Is AI or advanced technology affecting your work in terms of what you need to know?
Yes, we are, of course, these remote vehicles. We use subsea, but they've kind of been similar for quite a lot of time. But it's heading more and more into operating these from onshore. So you don't really need personnel offshore to do this. They have been trying to do that with our operations also, but it's... For now, our equipment hasn't really been designed to be operated from onshore. You really need personnel offshore to prepare the equipment and take care of it if you have some issues with it. So, but there is absolutely things going onto it, and I have a good colleague. He is looking into using the VR goggles to. I think that's quite interesting, because when we are heading out for some of our operations, it's sometimes difficult to know how does it actually look subsea when we arrive there. How does the pipeline is? How is the valve systems? How does it look? We can look at drawings and papers and try to imagine how it is, but real life is a bit different. In this case, they're using the VR goggles and 3D animations. You can kind of dive into the actual subsea field, and you can look into different valves or the modules you are actually going to change. You can kind of stick your head into it and have a look on it, and I think that's really interesting stuff coming up there.
Thank you, Alexander, for this insight on your work life, and I hope you enjoy your next weeks off and on to the next job soon.
Thank you.
That was Alexander, service engineer on vessels in Norway. I invite you to write a comment or a rating on your favorite podcast player, and also write me directly at jobtalespodcast@gmail.com if you have a guest to recommend. Otherwise, see you next week for a new episode of Job Tales.